In these verses, we have been looking at what it means to measure your maturity. That has been the theme that we have taken from these verses, measuring your maturity. And in verse number 13, the Bible tells us, if you look at it again, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then he lets us know again in the latter verses of the text that we have read in verse 16, according to the effectual working in the middle part of that verse, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Measuring your maturity, being objective, having enough spiritual maturity about you to start with, to stand still and take a look at who you are, where you are, and what you are with your walk with God. Or is anybody tonight able to do that? Is anyone able tonight to just be still and really be honest, quit worrying about who's beside of you, quit worrying about what someone else is going to say or what someone in your Sunday school class, if you're a teacher, is going to think, but standing still, amen, and realizing where you are at in your walk with God. Now, I want you to think about that. Here's where I'm at. Let me ask you this, where should you be? Amen. You can say, well, preacher, I'll tell you where I'm at. You're establishing where you're at compared to the fellow beside of you, aren't you? A lot of times we will size up our spiritual stature and our success and prosperity in the will of God by those that are around us. Well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or I'm further along than he is, or I'm more involved in the ministry than she is, or I have witnessed to somebody, or I've read the Bible, or I have an understanding of the doctrines of the Word of God that excels this individual. And I wish tonight that we could truly and with an honest heart be able to be still long enough and really ask ourselves the question, where should we be right now? I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know exactly what is afforded to you, amen, with a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God, what kind of memory you have, what kind of insight you may have, what kind of gifts that God, amen, has measured out to you in faith. I don't know anything about where you are at or what you have been exposed to, but there are many individuals in this building tonight. Each one of you, amen, will differ in many ways in your walk with God and in your faith, amen, as you serve the Lord. But where should we be tonight? I'd have to admit tonight and say I'm nowhere near where I should be. And we all would say that, and even if we had followed the path of the Lord Jesus Christ to the letter, amen, the humble servant of the Lord would automatically respond, well, I could be better, I could have prayed more, I could have read more. And I'm not trying to throw that kind of psychological guilt trip on you tonight. That's what most evangelists do, and most people in the hyper-evangelistic realm that want to put numbers in a paper or want to tell how many people came to the altar. That is not what my intention is tonight. I seriously am honest tonight. I want us to be able for a productive, a spiritually productive way to say, where really should I be with what I know and what I've heard and the things that God has exposed to me or exposed me to in my life? Where should I be with the Lord? Honestly and sincerely. Pose that question tonight in your mind. We said this in verse 11. We said that there is the promotion of maturity. And we see that in verse 11 in the men that God has given us. He gave apostles. There's the foundation that you need for your faith. He gave the prophets. That's the revelation that you need for your faith. And faith needs a revelation. Faith needs something to hope in down the road. And God's given you the prophets for that purpose. Then evangelists, the salvation of your faith. Amen. Seeing men saved. And there's nothing greater. Brother Adam came up to me tonight and said someone was saved tonight. The challenge program. And praise the Lord for that. Nothing, amen, will build your faith any greater than seeing someone under conviction. Brother Kevin testified. Had a prayer request about a man on the job tonight, and just to see and understand that God can work in the heart of a sinner and bring him to the Lord, amen, that will do things for your faith when you are where you should be, doing what you should be doing. Then the pastors, that's the administration of our faith. The teachers, that's the education of our faith. All these things revolve around men. God has put men in your life. God, amen, has so designed this faith that he's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ at salvation that he would put men in our life that would be an influence in our life and that would promote maturity. You have someone in your life that is a hindrance to your faith? You need to get rid of them. You have someone in your life that tears your faith down, that causes your mind to wander from the Word of God. You have a friend in life. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? You have a friend in life, an influence in life, a companion in life. Are you listening to me? That is a hindrance and a breaking down and a tearing down of your faith. You better understand that God has designed men in your life to build your faith. And I trust you'll understand that. We talked about milk. We talked about men. We talked about meat. Then we preached last Sunday on the purpose of maturity. And we really honed in on verse 13, the latter part. But I want to try, if I can, to get back to that place again with the help of the Lord. The Lord's just showed me some things that I want us to try to consider tonight. We talked about a maturing purpose in verse 12. That is the perfecting of the saints. You see that God desires to draw you near unto himself. God desires for you to grow and mature in your faith. And you have not seasoned out just yet. Paul did say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. He said that you'd think, okay, Paul's done. There's the saint of God that's finished. He's done. And so there's our example. Yet Paul said, bring John Mark with you, for he's profitable to me to the ministry. And so Paul was, even though he said he was finished, he wasn't finished. Even though he thought that his course was over with, amen, he realized that there was, I don't believe John the Baptist doubted. Now, I know everybody's preached that, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. Somebody may get up here and say, even John the Baptist had doubts. And I'm sure John the Baptist had doubts, but I don't believe he was doubting when he was in the jailhouse. That's my personal belief, my personal opinion. I wouldn't fuss and fight with you over it, amen. I might fuss and fight with you over something else, but not that tonight. But I believe John the Baptist was wanting to know for sure if he was done or not. Is he the one? Or what else did he say? What else did he say? Is he the one or what? Look we for another? Does that sound like somebody doubting? No, that sounds to me like somebody looking. Doesn't it? I say a man's doubt. If a man, I've been in doubt before. Have you ever been in doubt? I'm getting very distracted right here. Have you ever been in doubt? When I was in doubt, I wasn't looking. My head was down. My nose, amen, was dragging a fur between my legs. I wasn't looking for nothing. John said, look we for another. John's not doubting. John's looking. And they told him, they said, well, here's what's going on. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking again. He said, well, that's probably him. Yeah, that's the same one I baptized, I reckon. Ain't no sense in looking any further. Amen. You can preach John Doughton if you want to, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go stand before God, amen, come judgment day. And if I get judged for saying John didn't doubt because Jesus said there's a born a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist, amen, I'll stand there, amen. You can stand saying that the man that's born of woman, then none greater than John the Baptist, you can stand before the Lord saying he doubted, all right? I'll take my chances, you take yours. Amen, that's right. Amen. And so we talked about the maturing purpose for you to advance, be stronger, and be established. How in the world I got off on that, I don't know. But then verse 12, there's a ministry purpose. Amen. God desires to perfect you for the sake of a ministry. There's a member purpose in verse 12, to edify, to build up, to encourage, to create a desire in the body of Christ. Iron, sharpening iron. You and I as individuals creating within each other a desire and a thirst to serve God, not speaking evil one of another, not downgrading or beating someone down, amen, but lifting them up and trying to be a blessing and trying to be an encouragement and trying to, I'm not talking about compromising with sin, but I'm talking about building someone up in their holy faith. Then we talked about the measuring purpose. That's the purpose of maturity. The measuring purpose revolves around the stature in verse 13 and the fullness of Christ. We said two things and I closed out and thought I was finished, but I'm not finished. We talked about a relationship, and I know this is kind of teaching sounding, but we talked about a relationship in this maturing process. And that is the knowledge of the Son of God. I'll say something else about that here maybe in a little bit, maybe very little. I may preach a message just on that knowledge. But there's a relationship. Where we are headed and who we are headed in that direction with is very important. There is an association. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You're not the long ranger. You're not going to do this on your own. It's not just about you and what your little ministry is. It's not about you and what you feel like God's purpose and design and will is for your life. But it's about a group of people that has a relationship and they are associated with each other. You show me one individual, no matter how much they read and pray, and no matter how much they say they love God, that alienates themselves from the body of Christ, I'll show you somebody that's probably lost, that has an authority problem, somebody that's probably going to fall into sin. I have never seen it yet in 25 years of pastoring. When somebody alienates themselves from the body, they want everybody to flock around them in their little world right here in their little ministry, but they're not involved in anything else that's going on. They're not a part of any other work. They don't pray for any other thing in the ministry. It's all about them. It's all about what's going on in their world. It's all about us. We stand apart from the rest of the body. Oh, I know we're a member of Pleasant View, but we're really not a part, and we've alienated ourselves. I tell you, I'm going to show you somebody that's got an authority problem, someone that's going to end up in sin. I've seen it 25 years of pastoring and a long time of being in church, talking to other pastors, and I've never seen it fail every time. There's an agreement issue when this relationship is in place in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, there is an agreement, the unity of the faith, our cause, our commitment, our character, our conviction. Then there's an arrival. And that is the perfect man, the man that is mature. And I want to talk to you again tonight, if I can, about a reach. What are you reaching for? Reaching this level of maturity is not at all seemingly a concern in this day of religion. I really am very disturbed about the mentality of church people, this church included. Again, we have a mentality that, well, we're saved, so we're good for eternity, with no clue of the importance of being responsible to our faith. That's a very serious thing. What are you reaching for? Well, there's several things in our text, but I couldn't get 2 Peter chapter 1 off my mind, and I've preached from this text, and I have read it to you, and I have alluded to it while I have preached other messages and tried to bring to light the importance of these verses. But I want to try, if I can, to read these verses to you, and I'm asking for tonight that God would open up your mind and open up your spiritual heart and show you how important it is for your son and your daughter and your grandchildren to be accountable and responsible to their faith. Here's what Peter says. He says in verse 2, we'll just pick up right there in 2 Peter chapter 1. I wish you'd read this with me and look at the verses. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll pick up the reading in verse 2. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According," and there's the text we've dealt with for weeks, "according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence." You ought to circle that word "all" and underline that word "diligence." "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Notice these verses. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." And that's a pretty bold statement. Verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." What are you reaching for? Well, what we should be reaching for is unto a perfect man, right? Is that not what he tells us in Ephesians 4? Unto a perfect man. That's why these men are put in our life. That's why milk is given to us and we desire that milk as newborn babes. That's why meat is available to those that, amen, have nurtured themselves on that milk and have received it. The engrafted word that is able to make them wise unto salvation. And they have grown and they have flourished and they have reached out and their faith has been established. And now they have a stomach and a mind and the digestive, spiritual digestive system to take on meat and to strengthen themselves in the fullness and the stature of the Lord Jesus. Now, what are you reaching for? Are you reaching for fruitfulness? I preached about that, did I not? When we preached about the chosen vessel, young people, young ladies, we preached about fruitfulness, did we not? Remember, if you're going to be fruitful, you got to be useful, careful, all those full words we used in that text. Are you reaching for that? Are you reaching out for spiritual fruitfulness? Well, I could preach about all these things we are to add to our faith, but that's not my message. My message tonight is, what are you reaching for? If you are reaching for something that is spiritually prosperous, a life, a walk with God, if you are reaching for these things, then these things will be added to your faith, because there's no other way to attain or to grasp these issues and these blessings unless you add the structure to your faith that is laid out in these verses. But the Bible said in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Are you reaching to be fruitful? Do you desire spiritual fruitfulness in your life? Well, preacher, I want to go to heaven when I die. And I'm interested in eternity, but really not the world around me right now. And so to be honest with you, I'm not spiritually fruitful because I have not added to the faith that I claim to have. How serious is that? Very serious. Are you reaching for fruitfulness? We are told in these verses that if we add to our faith in verse number 8, and these things be what? What's it say in verse 8? These things be, say it. These things be where? In you. I think that's a big problem, Brother Jim, right there. I think that's a big issue right there. Really got me nervous about the condition and the state that people are in spiritually. They're trying to be fruitful with works, actions, and deeds with nothing in them. Nothing's in them. And so when there's nothing in them, there's no life there. And so all it turns out, all it ends up being is just empty labor that might get you the accolades of men, that might, Brother Herb, get you a plaque or an award of being a great citizen, may get you a trophy for being a good guy in the community, may give you a lot of things, but it will not make you fruitful. These things must be in you. Not only for fruitfulness must they be in you, but they must abound. They cannot lay stagnant, because we've already discussed that and preached about that, that stagnation is death. Not only death to the individual that's stagnant, but death to all those around them that partake of the contents that's stagnated. It brings death. It brings corruption. And so when we think of reaching out for fruitfulness in verse number 8, my, there's so much in that text, so many ways you could dissect it and outline it. But it says, if these things be in you, and so if they're a possession that you have within you, and they prosper in that they abound, they will produce something. They will make you. They will make you. They will make you. What are you being made out of? What is making you what you are? If you are where you are tonight, where you are at right now spiritually, what made you that way? Preacher, I am not right with God. I agree 100%. You aren't. What made you that way? I promise you, the process in these verses didn't make you that way. Adding to your faith didn't produce a cold, calloused heart. Adding to your faith did not promote the carnality that dominates your mind. These things be in you and abound. They make you. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. All right? So fruitfulness. I'm going to ask you a question now. I'm asking you what you are reaching for. We're talking about the perfect man, Jesus Christ. We've already talked about the stature and fullness of Christ. Now, you do understand that I could take that just as far as we wanted to go with it. I could preach to you about Christ in his youth, all the way through his ministry, all that he done, the example that he laid before. I could go back and re-preach all I preached years ago on the character of Christ. You remember that? On the character of Jesus, the image of Christ, being conformed to that image, being like Jesus. I can preach about his walk. I can preach about his talk. I can preach about the people he touched, how he touched them, and how he was discerning. All those things, that is what he contains, and how he stands, the stature and fullness of Jesus. That's our ruler. But the measuring stick is of no value to the individual that's not reaching for that. And there's your responsibility, Brother Jim, and that's what you're reaching for. What are you reaching for, Brother Craig? What are you reaching? That's what I'm trying to preach to you, Bradley. Are you just sitting still? Praise God, I don't have to go to hell. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you tonight, it is very important what you're reaching for when it comes to determining your standing with God. I'm preaching on, I'm asking you to measure your maturity. And I'm asking you to measure your maturity tonight based on what you are reaching for. Brother Grubbs, that perfect man. Is anybody reaching for that? Fruitfulness. Then fellowship, Brother Joe, I believe is in that verse. Brother Grubbs, I believe the knowledge of God. Now, I may preach a message, Brother Kenneth, on the knowledge of God. But if you'll read in that verse, I believe the knowledge of God is in that verse, is it not? I thought about that just a little while ago while the choir was singing. What does it mean, Brother Jenkins, to know somebody? To have a knowledge of them. Well, I can learn some things about Ray Jenkins by talking to him. Amen. Conversing with him. Me talking to him. Him talking to me. Amen. Is that not fellowship? Is that not we base fellowship basically on that one thing a lot of times? So I can know you and you can know me by us sitting down together, fellowshipping together and talking one with another, conversing. Me conversing with you, unveiling my heart, you unveiling your heart to me. And that is a diet, amen, of prayer and the word of God. There's no other way you can apply it, preach it. Amen. That there's no other way to apply it. Praying and the word of God. That's very important. But then there's also the aspect of fellowship in walking with someone. Not just talk, but walk. You can learn some things about walking with somebody that you can't learn about talking with them. Because they can talk a good talk, but they may not walk the walk. Amen. But if you walk and talk, you can learn a lot about somebody.
Amen.
That's what Enoch done. Enoch fellowship with God. He walked with God. Amen. Are you listening to me? And he was not, for God took him. And Enoch fellowship with God. He had faith. Amen. He believed God, and he walked with God. Do you walk with God? Are you in fellowship? Are you reaching for that? I'm asking you to measure your maturity tonight. Are you reaching for it? Do you desire to know something about him? Does the knowledge of God, the knowledge, Josh, of the Lord Jesus Christ interest you at all? Do you talk to him, Travis? Do you walk with him? Are you reaching for a knowledge of the Son of God? I'm telling you tonight, fruitfulness, do you reach for it? Fellowship, are you reaching for it? Do you walk with him? I thought about this. You can learn something about walking with somebody. You can learn something about talking with somebody. You can learn things about stalking somebody.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Peeping through the lattice at them.
That's right.
When nobody else is looking. Read the book. You read the Song of Solomon.
Amen.
I believe there's some stalking going on in Song of Solomon. Peeping around, following, slipping up around, trying to find God, seeking after him, looking for the Lord in every crack and corner of your life, trying to find the will of God in everything that's going on in your world, looking for the Lord here, looking for the Lord there. What's God have to do? Amen. In my life, you heard Brother Cofer when he talked about getting alone and staying out there in that old tent in the woods by himself. And he said he made a place for the Lord to lay down. Some people thought that was silly, but he was serious. He done that. Some people thought, that's ridiculous. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Can you believe what kind of fool that man is? But I'm going to tell you what, he's walking with the Lord and he loves God. And he was serious about the Lord. Amen. Slipping up beside of him and fellowshipping with him and being a part of his communion and a part of his personal walk with God.
Amen.
Are you reaching for fellowship? Are you reaching for it? You're going to measure your maturity by what you are reaching for. And I'm not out of my text. I'm just, amen, in another place, but preaching the same message. Are you listening to me tonight? Fruitfulness, fellowship. And then I thought about this. I thought about verse 10, faithfulness. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, what things? The things that are found in verse 4 all the way through verse 7. If you add to your faith and are responsible to your faith and mindful of your faith, he said, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I believe that he's telling us here, when we look at the reach of our maturity, when we are looking at our personal walk with God and what we are reaching for, I believe, amen, that there should be a desire of being faithful. I tell you what, it bothers me. It almost looks as if that families and young people and teenagers and college and career age group people, it almost appears to me that they are looking, Jeremiah, for a place to fall. It appears to me, Brother Justin, as a pastor, when I look around, that they are going as far as they can go and teetering on the very edge. And instead of getting right with God and diving in head first to serve the Lord, what they are doing, John, they are finding themselves teetering on the edge of eternity and godly things and looking for a place to fall. That is so disturbing. The way they comb their hair, looking for a place to fall, just right on the edge. You know, it's not how far this way I can get. Carl, it's not how far this way I can get. It's just, Brother David, getting on the edge, so if something does happen, I tumble this way. But if you do these things, you shall never fall. Wouldn't it be a blessing to reach for faithfulness, Josh? Wouldn't it be a blessing to have a group of young men and young ladies that will say, I will leave this building today reaching for something. I am going to measure who I am, where I am, what I am, and I'm going to reach for a godly life. I will reach for a mature spiritual life that will prosper in the will of God. I will serve and I will add to my faith, and by that I will not have to worry about where I'll fall, when I'll fall, or who will fall with me. You can do that tonight according to those verses. Reach for faithfulness. I am leaving today with the intentions and purpose of being faithful, living for God, serving the Lord. What about tonight? Anybody reaching? It involves faithfulness. It involves reaching out to your future. My, we preach that, have we not? For you young men, you young ladies, to have your future in mind. I'm going to tell you something. Your faith has a future. I mean, I don't care if you're a carpenter or a rocket scientist or anything in between. You have a future in faith. That future is seen in verse 11. For he said, for if you do, in verse 10 and 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's future, amen. This verse 10 and 11 is talking about down the road. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about your future? What are you reaching for in faith? Ahead of you. Preaching on measuring your maturity. You can measure it by what you're reaching for. Are you reaching to be sure? Are you wanting your future, Brother Josh Crawford, sure? Joseph Cole, are you wanting your future son to be sure? Or do you want it to be one big question mark of misery, anguish, and lacking stability? Well, here's what he says in verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election, what, chance? Sure. You can make it sure if you do these things. If you add to your faith. If you add to your faith, you can reach out to your future. I'm worried to death. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall either. I'm worried to death about, you know, the same thing that happened to them happening to me. You don't have to worry about the same thing happening to them happening to you if you'll add to your faith. I'm telling you, you don't have to consume your life defeated and down and in despair and down about the sin and the snares that others have fell into. If you will just simply realize you have a faith, be responsible to it, love it, it's precious, build on it, add to it, and reach out into your future and be sure. Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The sureness of your future, the sureness of your future is going to be determined by what you do with your faith. You, not your daddy, Brother Hill, not your mother, Miss Hill, or not your pastor, Brother Massengill. It's what you're going to do with your faith. That's what's going to determine, son, whether or not you make it tomorrow. You get saved by the grace of God, give your heart to Jesus. There comes a time the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, shows you you're lost, shows you that you're going to hell, and you repent, give your life to God. Tomorrows in your life are going to determine, amen, your future, whether or not it's sure. It's very serious. Your faith is very serious and precious. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's not just getting yourself out of the flames. It's precious. It's something that's precious. It's gold, more precious than gold. Sure, steadfast, you don't have to fall. You young ladies, Miss Allison, look at me. You don't have to fall. You can say, I know a young lady that I know when I was a little, and she's out in sin. I sure don't want that to happen to me. Then add to your faith. Build on, Libby, build on the grace of God that has been established in your heart. Deals with your future. Deals with the sureness of your future. Deals with the steadfastness of your future. She'll never fall. It'll deal with the shout of your future. Now, some of you hadn't shouted around here in your life. But if you add to your faith, there's going to come a day when you have an entrance that is going to be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. There's going to be a revelation. I don't think you can, but you may make it into the rapture and not shout. I doubt it. I doubt very seriously you're going to make it into heaven, period, without worshiping and shouting and being very vocal when it comes to your walk or your worship to the Lord. But if you can, some kind of way, get through the rapture and get through the 7 years of tribulation being with the Lord and never shout hallelujah or never magnify the name of the Lord in a very loud, vocal way, there's coming a revelation day when the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. And whether you like horses or not, you're going to be on one. And you're going to shout. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to parade the bride of Christ in front of the world. And we're going to be, there's going to be an abounding, abundance, glorified entrance issued into the everlasting kingdom. That's the revelation of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned. So are you reaching for your future? Does that mean, I'll tell you what, that means something to me. I long for the rapture. Amen. Me and Brother Norris were talking about it today. Amen. Praise God. The trumpet sounds. We ain't got to worry about all the mess that's going on in our worlds around us. All the pain, the suffering will all be over. Thank God for that reality. I want to tell you something tonight. I'm longing for the revelation. Every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. And they will magnify him for the first time ever. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He's Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, it's best if you do that now. Right now, tonight. It would be best if you did that tonight. There's coming a day that everyone will. Amen. Well, what are you reaching for? I dodged a verse. Did you notice that? I dodged a verse because it's a message within itself. I really didn't dodge the verse. I skipped the verse. If you men want to get out and preach this somewhere, this will preach. This will be a message that the churches of this country need to hear. And they probably won't invite me to come and preach it. So you get out there, preach it to them in my behalf. The folly of being foolish with your faith. The folly of being foolish with your faith. Seen in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's the folly of being foolish with your faith. Here's what happens. There's an individual that lacketh. He's slothful. You can outline it any way you want to. This is what I just jotted down. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. You get slothful with your faith. Anybody ever been slothful with their faith? Anybody ever just got away from the Word of God? Anybody ever just didn't pray with a fervency? Maybe not pray at all. Didn't spend time with the Lord. Didn't have that communion with God. You got lazy. Your faith didn't mean nothing to you. Oh, you got time for the computer. You got time for the musical instrument. You got time for the TV. You got time for the internet. You got time for a fishing pole, a bow, a rifle, a shotgun. You got time to go turkey hunting. You got time to go coon hunting. You got time to go rabbit hunting. You got time to play golf. You got time to spend time with your family, with your son, with your daughter, with your wife, with your husband. You got time to eat, to sleep, to work. You got time, but no time for God. He that lacketh these things, slothfulness, getting lazy about your faith, it's not precious. Now, I was lazy this morning, and it cost me. It's going to cost me a pretty good little bit of money. I've had a slow leak in the left front tire of my truck for some time. I left out this morning. I was in a hurry. I was wanting to get to the hospital before they took Peyton in for surgery. And that's about an impossibility because they'll tell you one thing and do something totally different. So, I got where I just didn't worry about it because I'll just see them when they get out and go. And, you know, you want to try to go, you know, see them and stay with the family, make sure if it's possible, you know, you can. I can't do that all the time with everything that's going on. But I wanted to go and check, make sure things were okay. I left out this morning. I left out pretty early. And I left out when I got about a got out on 60, I thought, that tire's low. I could tell it. You can tell driving. Pull into one side, the ride's not smooth. The tire's low. And I said, I'll make it to the station. I could have turned around and went back home and pumped it up, but I thought, I'll just make it up there to that station. in Garfield. You know what I did? I made it to Dow's Body Shop, and the whole sidewall blowed out. I'm not talking about a hole. I'm talking about the whole sidewall. It's out there in the back of the truck. You can go look at it. I'm talking about all the way around the rim, about that big around, all the way around the whole rim blowed out. What do you like most in life? I mean, laying aside spiritual things, Miss Charity, laying aside, Brother Ronnie, anything godly tonight, what's precious to you? What's important to you? Let's not even think about the wife and kids, the grandkids tonight. What's really important to you? Huh? Ball gloves, bats, what's important to you? Car. How important is those things? Are those things? I tell you what you do, get you a nice vehicle that you really like. Don't clean it. And don't change the oil in it. Call me in a year. Don't mean anything to you, Brother Tarvin. It's going to fall apart. It's going to blow up. It's going to fall apart underneath of you. Amen. You know why? Because you hadn't been responsible. You hadn't taken care of it. Amen. You like guns? Set them up in the shelf. In a damp area, or just throw them around anywhere. Don't ever oil them. Don't ever clean them. Don't ever take care of them. You know what's going to happen, Brother Carl? You'll walk in there one day to pull the slide back, and it's hung up. It's rusted or got all kind of trash in it. It's just not going to shoot. You take an automatic weapon, you shoot it. There's going to come a time it's going to jam and misfire and not fire if it's not clean and if it's not oiled and taken care of. Like coon hunting, don't feed them dogs for the next 30 days. And call me and ask me to go coon hunting with you. Might want to bring one of the kids to try to run the coon and tree it. Because all the dogs have died. I don't know what happened. I just didn't feed them for a month. I hadn't prayed for a month. It hadn't killed me spiritually. Wonder why the dog died. Is anybody listening to me tonight? I hadn't read the Bible. I hadn't read the Bible in a month. I don't know why my little boy passed away and died because we didn't feed him the last 30 days. Just how important is your faith, Jim Cole? How important is my faith? How responsible am I to my faith? The foolishness or folly of being foolish with your faith is that it affects your ability. It affects your ability to see. Let me outline it this way. It affects your sight. And this verse is a little confusing, but it affects your sight. He is blind. He's blind. Right here where you're at, Brother Josh is here tonight, and he's blind. As far as I know, he never remembers seeing anything. Is that right, Brother Josh? Never remembers seeing anything. His immediate world around him right now is dark. He can't see tonight. He's blind. You see, the danger of being blind is not that you just can't see right here. It's the sight problem. There's a difference. I believe I can make, that a difference, Miss Valerie? It's not only that you cannot see, but it affects your sight. In other words, what I mean is, it's not that you can stand. If you're in a, Brother Josh is in a very safe place right now. He can't see, but he ain't got hurt in the last 30 or 45 minutes. So he feels within himself, I'm okay, because nothing's happened to me. So if I stay put where I'm at right now, if I don't move, I think I'll be all right. Yep. But the seriousness and the folly of it is he cannot see afar off. He dies if he just sits there from now on. Yeah. And so what happens is a man's got to get up and move. He's got to go in some direction. He's got to exert energy in a direction. You boys listening to me? Sitting back with your legs kicked out and your hands behind your head spiritually because I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Attitude. What that does, Andrew, is it produces a slothful manner with your faith. It concludes, Travis, with sitting there blind, but sooner or later you're going to move and you don't have a clue which direction to go in.